It's Monday, November 22nd. This is our holiday edition of our fantasy basketball podcast on CBSSports.com. Adam Azer, Sergio Gonzalez. You can follow Sergio on Twitter at CBS Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z, and follow us at CBS Fantasy News. Send us your emails, DM Fantasy Basketball. No, no, DM Fantasy Hoops at CBS.com. Yes. Fantasy basketball would just be too obvious, so we changed it up. Thanks a lot to everybody for listening. Here we go again on another podcast for you. So we get right to it with the big news of today. As we just found out, Udonis Haslem will have surgery. He'll be out for a few months. He has torn ligaments in his left foot. Sergio, what's going on?
That's not great news for the Miami Heat, who already lack depth up front. They're going to need to go to veterans like Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Juwan Howard. They're going to need to piece things together. But most likely what it looks like is that they're going to be bringing in players to try out. Eric Dampier is a name we're hearing a lot. We've also heard of a couple of lower, lesser name players. I wouldn't expect any one player to take the brunt of what Haslem was doing, which is around 10 points and 10 rebounds per game. I would expect probably Ilgauskas to play around 25 minutes per game, Juwan Howard to play around 20 minutes per game, and if they can add just another smaller element to also be in there. So I wouldn't look for any player to add off the waiver wire there. So Zydrunas Ilgauskas is only going to be a low-end number three center for the deepest leagues, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, and boy, it's interesting to see what will happen with Chris Bosh now. They really, really need him.
He's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy that picks it up. The biggest knock this year hasn't been his decline in scoring. That was expected. The biggest knock on him, exactly, has been his lack of effort on the glass. This has got to be the wake-up call. He's got to get it going now.
Delonte West is back for the Celtics. He's owned in 9% of leagues. Will he play any type of role, and is he worth adding?
I think he's going to kind of play off of what Nate Robinson does, in that they're both going to be hot and cold. Whoever's got the hot hand is going to see the bigger minutes that particular night. As long as Ray Allen is healthy, as long as Rajon Rondo can get back to being healthy, I don't see either being anything more than waiver wire fodder.
And there was a big trade recently, a five-player deal involving the Hornets and the Raptors. The Hornets get Jarrett Jack, David Anderson, Marcus Banks. The Raptors get Peja Stojakovic and Jared Bayless. Who wins? Who loses?
I think Jose Calderon is probably the biggest winner in this deal. He gets to go from playing around 20 minutes per game behind Jarrett Jack in Toronto to being the starter. Don't forget, guys, a couple years ago he was averaging 9 assists per game, and he was one of the elite sources for dimes in category leagues. He gets a chance to go back to the 30 to 35 minutes per game range after dropping the last two seasons behind Jarrett Jack to more of around the 20 to 25 minute range. So I expect him to see the biggest boost. He shouldn't be available in any category league. He's that good in terms of distributing assists.
And is Jarrett Jack
shot? Jarrett Jack
now
is shot. He's gonna go. He's gonna go. Unfortunately, backup Chris Paul. He's been a successful backup player in the past, back in the days when he was with the Portland Trailblazers. But he's not gonna get enough run behind Marco Bellinelli, who's playing very well at the moment. Bellinelli and Chris Paul to be consistent at any stage. I don't see him being anything more than a player who gets around 20 minutes per game.
The other three pieces here are David Anderson, Marcus Banks, and Jared Bayless.
Nothing special there. Nothing special there in terms of fantasy value. Marcus Banks has had some spotty moments in the past. I don't see him. I just don't predict him getting consistent playing time.
I'd like to see Jared Bayless get an opportunity. He's a lottery pick with a lot of talent.
Yeah, it'd be either
his third team already.
Right. If I guess the reason I wasn't high on him is because I'm so high on Calderon. Because if Calderon takes off there, Bayless doesn't see minutes. With that said, Calderon did lose out to Jarrett Jack for a reason last season, and he has taken a step back. Some of it's injury. Some of it is his age. So if Bayless can kind of just wait around long enough for Calderon to fall flat on his face, then, yeah, absolutely. Bayless has some long-term upside. And I have gotten a lot of questions. Do I pick up Bayless? Do I pick up Bayless? He is worth picking up.
All right, injury report really quickly here. Andrew Bogut, he has a back injury. He had back spasms today, today being Monday the 22nd. And it's probably too late right now if you're listening to make a lineup adjustment, but is this a serious injury?
Yeah, his back flared up on him in practice. Unfortunately, Bogut can't seem to stay healthy. He's been banged up throughout his career. He's already had some bumps and bruises this season. Back spasms can be tricky because there's really no rhyme or reason to it. It's just a matter of when he feels better, he's going to be able to play. He himself on Monday said that he was not sure if he's going to play on Wednesday. So the fact that he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his back right now should give you some cause for concern. Listen, this is nothing new for Bogut owners. They know what. Hopefully, they knew what they were getting when they drafted him. He was an injury concern. He's always going to be an injury concern. But when he's healthy, he gives you numbers. You just have to make the most of it when he's healthy.
Yeah, so I'm a Bogut owner. He was my third pick on a swing pick in a 10-team league. And today, I went out and I picked up JaVale McGee. And I just want to stockpile on centers. Because I figure at some point,
absolutely,
I'm going to need a good one.
That's why centers are so valuable and so hard to find off the waiver wire in most leagues. It's the hardest position to fill. It's the hardest position to have depth at because of the lack of really quality center options. I like what you did there with JaVale McGee. I actually have him as a sit for week 5 because he's going to be playing just 3 games. 2 of them are going to be against Dwight Howard and Al Horford. So I think, believe me, I understand he's hot right now and he's one of the hottest pickups. A lot of people want to pick him up and activate him. I think if he can make it through week 5 and still maintain any semblance of that hot streak he went into the week with, we're ready to declare him a must start.
Okay, Dwayne Wade is out for how long? He's got a wrist injury.
Wrist injury. He's going to be questionable he's a game time decision for Monday night. So he's been out for a game already. This will be the second game that he misses. The fact that the Heat weren't ready to declare him as good to go leading into Monday's game is obviously a cause for concern. The last game that he did play in, he only scored around 11 points. He was under the weather that game. Clearly, things aren't going the way anybody anticipated in Miami. Things are still kind of taking shape there. But Dwayne Wade, thankfully, he's actually been the player who's taken the least hit in terms of his numbers. He's just going through a little bit of an injury problem right now. I wouldn't be majorly concerned. I do think he'll play at least 3 games in week 5.
Today we are going to finish our category discussion. And we're going to help people out if you need threes, if you need field goal percentage, and if you need free throw percentage. And again, the point of our little game here, I'll throw out some names of guys who are pretty good in this category. Sergio, you tell me who you like the most because, you know, some of these guys, hey, if you're looking for free agents that are good at three-pointers, well, they might kill you in other categories,
exactly.
So you got to be careful.
Exactly.
So we start with Mike Bibby, who's actually owned in under half of our leagues, 47%. And, you know, he'll have some pretty bad games, but also some pretty good ones, 10 points, 3.6 assists per game, and shooting very well from the field, not good, though, from the free throw line.
Yeah, he's going to give you steals. He's going to give you around 25 minutes per game. We were very concerned going into the season that Jeff Teague was going to cut into his playing time. That hasn't really been the case. And he's actually starting to pick it up on the offensive end. The very interesting thing with him in week 5 is that the Atlanta Hawks play 5 games. They're the only team in the NBA to do that. I believe it only happens twice, and it already happened. This is the second time. It's not going to happen again all year. I expect Bibby to have a big week. He's giving you three-pointers. He's actually 7 of 12 from the field, from beyond the arc in his last couple games. He's as long as he continues to see around 25 to 30 minutes per game, he can get you around 5 assists. And he's not going to get you double-digit scoring on a regular basis, but when he's facing favorable matchups in weeks that he's playing the Knicks or the Timberwolves or the Golden State Warriors, you're going to get some value as a low-end starter.
So if you're looking at him,
mm-hmm.
compare him to two guys who are owned in 40% of leagues,
mm-hmm.
Marco Bellinelli and Travis Outlaw. Bellinelli averaging over 16 points per game lately. He's playing very well.
Right.
8 threes in his last 3 games.
Right.
And then Travis Outlaw off to kind of a rough start. So we're looking at Bibby, Bellinelli, Outlaw.
Of those three, I think Bellinelli has the strongest chance of being consistent. Outlaw has had potentially the most upside of the three, but we've seen him be 20 points one night, 5 points the next. Bellinelli is starting to settle into the two-guard role. That trade that we mentioned earlier helps him. He's getting 30 to 35 minutes per game, and he's averaging 15 points per game over his last 5.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have clarified earlier. He's averaging 16 points a game over his last 3 games.
Right.
Not on the season.
And 15 over his last 5, and he's hit multiple threes in his last 3 games. He's offering about 2 threes per game. So 2 three-pointers made. So that's plus production at that category. And I think he's going to settle out as a mid-teen scorer with the new role that he's getting in the new playing time that he's getting in New Orleans.
Outlaw?
Out of those three, I would rank them Bellinelli, Outlaw, Bibby.
And then a guy I like who's only owned in 14% of leagues is Shannon Brown.
Yeah.
He's scoring slightly more than Bibby. He doesn't have as many assists, but he's a much better free throw shooter.
Yes.
And he's hitting about the same amount of threes.
He's a player who is being used to shoot around 5 to 6 3-pointers per game. He's not being asked to do much more than that. You won't see him take many shots inside the arc unless Kobe Bryant's hurt. We did see him last year put up a lot of actually strong stat lines when Kobe Bryant went down with an injury. Kobe Bryant's fully healthy now. You're not going to get Shannon Brown all of a sudden to become a number two fantasy guard, but you can use him in category leagues as a potential source for multiple threes per game. I still would rank him below the guys you mentioned, though.
Yeah, well, so would everybody else,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. What'd you say? He's only 14%. In 14% of leagues,
mm-hmm.
And there's much more owners out there in category leagues that can get use out of him. If he's giving you 2 threes per game, you can get some use out of him.
I need field goal percentage. Well, we talked about Chris Humphreys last week. He's owned in 61% of leagues. Time to get on his bandwagon because he's shooting 66%. Humphreys, how would you compare him to JaVale McGee?
I like McGee's offensive upside more than I like Humphreys, but I like Humphreys as a rebounder more than I like McGee.
Yeah, so if you need field goal percentage and rebounding, and a lot of times those two are going to go hand in hand. Field goal percentage is going to be dominated by the big men.
But what I do like there is I like McGee's long-term appeal in terms of his situation. He's going to be getting unquestioned minutes more so than Humphreys because the power forward situation in New Jersey is far from settled. They still have Troy Murphy, a guy who they're paying a lot of money and they're not using right now. That situation has to be settled.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him later.
They have Derek Favors, who is a rookie that was that they have high hopes for in the future and the future for the Nets at power forward. So Humphreys is definitely not the unquestioned answer for the Nets at power forward. So I like McGee in terms of his long-term appeal for that reason.
DeAndre Jordan shooting very well from the field can also get you some rebounds and some blocks.
That one, I love him in the short term, but obviously this is only for as long as Chris Kamen is out. Keep an eye on how long Kamen may be. He's probably another couple weeks away.
Why do you think the Clippers are so bad?
Because they have a lot of loose parts without any kind of they have no real scheme. They don't. What kind of a team do you think the Clippers are? Are they an inside team? Are they an outside shooter team? They're starting to develop something with Blake Griffin. Obviously, he's becoming that go-to player that they haven't had since probably Elton Brand.
They shouldn't be this bad.
No. They have the elements, and we started to see that take place last year for a team like Memphis, who had a lot of loose parts. They were able to finally get some kind of a scheme and a real sense of direction. I think the Clippers, with Blake Griffin settling into his own, are going to, by the end of the year, turn into a team that we can finally start seeing a future for.
All right, I hope so. Amir Johnson, again, I know we've talked about him before, but he's only owned in 37% of leagues. He had a double-double against Boston on Sunday. Yeah, he had gone a little quiet, and then he came back strong against Boston, 10-8 in the game before the Boston game. He's shooting 60%, 5 blocks in his last 3 games. So, long-term, you got to like Johnson more than DeAndre Jordan, I would imagine.
Yes, I do. The only problem with Johnson is that he splits playing time with Reggie Evans, who was an excellent rebounder. They're trying to fill the Chris Bosh void with several players. Bargnani's doing it on offense. Evans is doing it on the boards. Mm-hmm. And Amir Johnson's kind of playing a combo role behind the two. Johnson is only seeing 20 minutes per game, and that's why we're seeing some of this erratic production. It's amazing that he's been able to do what he's doing with only 20 minutes per game. And maybe at some point they tire of Reggie Evans being an offensive liability and they give Amir Johnson, who can do a little bit more alongside Andrea Bargnani offensively, they give him more of the playing time that they're giving Evans now. So in the long term, I think he could absolutely be even more than he's doing now. And he's, for the moment, providing adequate production for a low-end stopgap measure.
Sergio, I need free throw percentage.
Free throws.
Well, by the way, some of the guys we talked about in that three-point category, they show up here as well, like Shannon Brown. He's shooting 94%. Last two seasons, he's been over 80%. So it'll drop. But he's getting to the line and shooting pretty well. Amir Johnson, another guy, shooting over 90% right now. But don't be fooled, because last year he only shot 64%.
Yes.
So buyer beware. Rajah Bell. owned in 7% of leagues. He is a 92% free throw shooter this year. He's getting over 30 minutes a night lately in the last few games. And last year he shot 85%. So could he be a good option?
Absolutely. Now, we should differentiate here because some of our category leagues use free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Other category leagues use free throws made. So a player like Rajah Bell, he's only going to get to the foul line around four times a game, maybe. So the fact that he only gets to the foul line four times a game allows him to put up such a great percentage since he is such a great free throw shooter. I do like him. I like the fact that you mentioned he's now playing around 30 minutes per game. He's always been the starter there, but his minutes had been fluctuating early in the season. He is a great free throw shooter. As long as he continues to start, he's a good source and a good pickup for that category.
You might want to avoid Francisco Garcia. He is shooting a great percentage, but lately he's been playing a lot less, and he's only taken one free throw in his last five games.
Yeah, so that's never good. Again, there's a big difference between volume and percentage. So
yeah,
it depends on the league you're in. A player,
even if you're in a league that doesn't do volume and just does percentage, you see a guy who's shooting 90% and he barely takes any free throws. You have to look at how many free
absolutely
throws he's getting, because the percentage doesn't help you if he's not taking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 90% won't do anything if he's only shooting three or four field goals, free throws a week.
Right, exactly. Kirk Heinrich is available in 30% of leagues, so I know he's owned in a lot. But he's shooting 87.5 from the line so far. Usually shoots in the upper 70s. And a guy who, you know, what do you think about him? Available in 30% of leagues, solid player.
I like him. He's obviously coming off a big week because John Wall missed four games. Wall is back, but what we have seen from Heinrich is an ability for him to play that six-man role behind Arenas and Wall, that he can. In Chicago, he kind of developed out of being just a point guard into being a little bit of a shooting guard as well. So he can play that combo guard role for the Wizards, and he's going to buy himself around 25 minutes per game. That's been allowing him to give you around four assists, and as you mentioned, he's a good three-point shooter, and he's a good free-throw shooter. So he's one of those low-end cheap buys that you can kind of play catch-up with across the board. He's not going to give you plus production in any category, but he'll fill the box score up for you, that he'll balance your the rest of your lineup.
Let's look at the most added and most dropped list right now on CBSSports.com. Darko Milicic is number three here. He has gone way up from 37% to 75%, 38% change. Darko Milicic, Sergio.
Yeah, he's a player I've been trying to talk up at the expense of being laughed at going into the season, because he was finally going to be in a situation to produce. Kurt Rambis loved him so much that he talked him out of going to Europe. Darko Milicic wanted to go to Europe this summer, but Rambis said, listen, I'm going to give you the playing time that you never got in the NBA, and with that playing time, you're going to get a chance to prove that you really aren't the bust that everybody thinks that he is. He is a bust.
Oh, he's a bust.
Yeah, let's not jump around that.
He's a huge bust.
Did you see the stat line he posted against the Lakers on November 19th?
He had 23 and 16?
23 points.
And 5 assists?
16 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 blocks,
oh, six
2
blocks.
Steals
wow.
In 40 minutes.
That's
against
probably the,
Lakers, the
best game of his life.
That is absolutely the best game of his life. But you know who probably thought this game was – who probably enjoyed this game more than Darko? Joe Dumars of the Pistons, who he finally gets a chance to show people. This is what I saw when I drafted him ahead of Dwayne Wade, and I drafted him ahead of
Carmelo Anthony. Or he's sitting there saying, why it took you long enough, Darko.
Exactly. He was probably, it was bittersweet for Joe Dumars. Now, I'm not saying by any means that all of a sudden Darko is going to become one of the premier players in the NBA or anything like that, but he's clearly gotten to a stage that the Timberwolves are comfortable giving him 35. He played 40 minutes against the Lakers in that big game that he had against them. With that playing time, he's going to be able to extrapolate and add to the things that he's always done well. Even in his worst days with the Pistons, when he's the human victory cigar, whatever the nickname that he had over there, he's always been a great shot blocker. More minutes is going to lead to more blocks. He's averaging 3.4 blocks per game in his last five. He's a good free throw shooter for a big, and he's always been a decent rebounder. So he's averaging over his last five games around 12 points, 7 rebounds, just under 3 assists, and 3 blocks per game. That is more
That's
than
outstanding.
Useful. That is more than useful. And how many leagues did you say he's available in?
He is now available only in 25%.
Oh, he's up. He's owned in 75 now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, well, people are paying attention.
Yeah.
So.
Drew Gooden is owned in 82% of leagues, is our fourth most added player, up from 50%.
Drew Gooden is a player who got off to a slow start because of foul trouble. He's been able to sort through those issues. And the Bucks are a team that hadn't really settled their power forward spot, but it looks like Gooden's been able to do that. He's averaging 15 points and 11 rebounds over his last five games. He's also a good shot blocker, even though he hasn't been putting up premium production yet at that category. He's got a block in four of his last five games. I do think as he continues to get more comfortable in his role in Milwaukee, that number will go up. Anytime Drew Gooden, for whatever reason, I know he's a journeyman, but whenever he's been given this type of playing time, wherever he's been, he did it in Dallas last year, late last season, he puts up this type of production. I'm not exactly sure why he's been on so many teams. How many teams could use a guy who can give you 15? You think the Miami Heat wouldn't love to have Drew Gooden right now?
But the Bucks paid him
too much. The Bucks did pay him a lot. I don't blame Drew Gooden for jumping all over that contract. But for whatever reason, Drew Gooden, he's been knocked around from team to team.
It is weird. You feel like he's been in the league for 20 years. Yeah. So he's not that old.
And the journeyman tag that he's been labeled with kind of affects him in fantasy because a lot of fantasy owners write him off. He puts up numbers, and that's all the fantasy owners are concerned with. When he gets this type of playing time, he's getting 30 to 35 minutes per game. He's a double-double machine. Mm-hmm. So make the most of it.
Also on this list, Jose Calderon, number 7 on this list. We talked about him earlier. Sergio's very high on him. Not as high on number 9 on this list, Jared Bayless, who's up from 5% to 20%. You know, be a little cautious with him. And then three spots down, JaVale McGee up 10%. And we like JaVale McGee. Now, JaVale McGee or Darko Milicic, they're owned in a similar percent of leagues.
That's
who would you rather
one.
Have?
That's a good one. I think Darko's getting more minutes right now. McGee has more. I don't know how many Wizards games you've gotten a chance to watch this year. He's just such a raw athletic talent.
Yeah, I mean, same thing from last year.
Right.
Yeah, he's a much more talented player than
Milicic. He jumps out of the building. I think when John Wall gets back, they developed a pretty good rapport in the summer league and in the preseason, and even to some extent earlier in the regular season. He loves throwing them alley-oops because it's such an easy finish for them. I think you're going to see some of the impact that Chris Paul had on Tyson Chandler.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, when he was with the Hornets, where it was at least three or four spectacular alley-oops a night. I think you're going to get high field goal percentage out of McGee. I think you're going to get good rebounding. And as he continues to build in confidence, he'll develop as a player. He's still the label he's got is raw athletic project. Mm-hmm. He's only going to get better. I think that'll come with more minutes, which he's starting to see. But the question you asked me, Darko or JaVale, I think right now I'm going Darko.
Wow.
I think he's closer to being a finished product where McGee's finished product is going to be 2 or 3 years down the road.
Okay. Most drop list, number 2 is Jarrett Jack. We talked about him. He's still owned in 58% of leagues. I have a feeling next week he might be on the most drop list again, up towards the top. Troy Murphy. We need to talk about Troy Murphy. He's a top 10 player on this most drop list. Still owned in 86% of leagues. That's down from 96%. I know you've been getting a lot of questions about him.
Yes, a lot of questions about him. Obviously, like you mentioned, he's still owned in 86% of CBSSports.com leagues. He's not being able to be started. So when you have a player that you drafted as high as the fifth round in a lot of leagues, it's frustrating that you can't get any use out of him. He was injured. Now it's not because he's injured. It's because he's not getting any playing time. Avery Johnson and him aren't on the same page in New Jersey, and there is some talk that he could be traded. Hopefully, fantasy owners should actually be hoping that it happens soon, because as long as he's in New Jersey, he's going to be caught in that mix of Derek Favors, Chris Humphrey. They're using Chris Humphreys over Troy Murphy.
Yeah.
Chris Humphreys over Troy Murphy. And they paid Troy Murphy a lot of money. So right now it's a mess. It's not going to work for him in New Jersey, which is unfortunate. He's actually a hometown guy from New Jersey. He was glad to be back in the area. He's not going to get back on the same page with Avery Johnson. So
what do you advise owners?
I think the Nets have to make a move. They have to trade him. They're paying him way too much money to not play him. So they have to. They're not just going to let that much money sit. He's not going to be another Eddie Curry.
But if he gets traded, it's You got to think most trades are going to happen after December 15th.
Sure.
When all the players who signed this offseason are eligible to be traded.
Right.
So you could be sitting – I'm not. Maybe it'll happen sooner than that. Maybe it will. But there's a chance you're sitting on this guy who's doing really not much of anything for the Nets for a month.
Yes.
At least.
But the potential and the reason he's still owned in 85% of leagues, you said. Is he can be a 15-10 guy with around 2 blocks per game under the right circumstances. Now, I do think fantasy owners should write off that they're going to get that type of production because, like you mentioned, if he does get moved, he's going to go somewhere that probably already has a power forward. He's not going to be the go-to player he was in Golden State or in Indiana, but you're talking about a player who can give you around 15 points, 10 rebounds. He's a good three-point shooter for a big, which we've talked about is rare. He can get you about 2 threes per game. A good free-throw shooter, give you about a steal per game without costing you anything in turnovers. This is why people are still hanging on to him.
Yeah.
He's a sleeper cell. You put him in the right situation, and all of a sudden he's going to blow up, and then everybody's going to be trying to add Troy Murphy. Well, why not just keep him on the end of your bench, and you've already got him for when that situation could potentially happen? The Nets are looking to trade him, so we just have to hope that it happens sooner rather than later.
Do you play in any leagues that don't have benches?
I do in a couple, actually.
And what would you do in a league
in that league, in that type of league, I'm dropping him.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But most standard formats do have at least 4 to 5 reserve spots. In some leagues, you can even get creative and stash them as in what's that called? On your IR or something like that.
Right.
Some leagues allow that. Anywhere that you can afford to stash him where he's not burning a hole in your bench, 15, 10, 2 threes, 80% free throw shooter, and a steal per game.
Think the Heat could use them?
I think they'd more than love
having him. Nothing right to trade.
Oh, no. And plus, I don't think he'd fit salary-wise. But if Pat Riley could, he would fly Troy Murphy over tonight to play for the Miami Heat.
Right. And Terrence Williams, another net, is on this list. One spot below Troy Murphy, also dropped in 10% of leagues, down from 62 to 52.
Yeah, he's another player that, for whatever reason, isn't getting along with Avery Johnson. He's not making a lot of friends in his first year with
Brooke
New Jersey.
Lopez needs to rebound.
As a Nets fan, I'm not completely against that. I think the Nets need that kind of a disciplinarian. But Terrence Williams is being kept around because of the numbers he had late last season when he was finally getting around 30 minutes per game. Unfortunately, I really don't see a situation, just like with Troy Murphy not being able to get back on the same page as Avery Johnson, I don't see how he's going to Terrence Williams is going to do the same. Last season, under the previous regime, he was able to get 30 minutes per game. In the second half of the season, he was giving you around 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. That's not going to happen under Avery Johnson. I kind of tried to play the patient card with Terrence Williams in the early going. I've come to the realization that he's got too many players. We mentioned Travis Outlaw. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Anthony Morrow in previous podcasts. He's got too many similar parts there where Terrence Williams isn't going to get 30 minutes per game at any point this season, barring some kind of injury situation.
Let's read an email. DM fantasyhoops at CBS.com. D as in Desmond. M as in... Oh, D as in Darko. M as in Milicic.
Oh,
fantasyhoops at CBS.com. Our email today comes from Xavier. He says, had a few questions regarding a couple surprising players from today's games. He sent this on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Time to pick up on Milicic. All right, we addressed that. Wow, this guy, he emailed us about everything we've talked about. Does Bellinelli finally deserve a sure spot on my roster?
I think we've discussed that. Yep, yeah. Bellinelli absolutely does.
And add Humphreys.
No, I guess we kind of glazed over Humphreys.
Yeah.
I do think Humphreys is worth an add, especially in category leagues. He is a good rebounder, subpar offensive player, but with the kind of playing time he's getting right now with Troy Murphy out of the rotation, he can scrape together close to 10 points per game. So if you're talking about a cumulative format where he's going to play 4 games and he's going to be playing against favorable opponents like the ones we talked about earlier, he's going to be one of those players that you can plug in from time to time based on matchups. And category leagues, he can get you around 8 to 9 rebounds per game on a consistent basis. So, yeah, he's worth picking up. But the ghost of Troy Murphy is still there. Derek Favors is a player I think will, by the end of the season, be the primary power forward in New Jersey.
Or Denver.
Or wherever Melo's trade takes him.
Eric Bledsoe is on Xavier's team. How much longer can we rely on him?
I think the ticking time bomb is about to blow up. I think Eric Bledsoe is... We already saw his minutes decline towards the end of week 4 with Randy Foy returning. Randy Foy, the loyal listeners of the podcast may remember, Adam was high on him going into the early stages of the season. Foy's back. He's cutting into Bledsoe's time. Baron Davis is likely back on Thanksgiving Day, on this upcoming Thursday. So Bledsoe could find himself in a situation where he begins the week as the number one point guard. He ends the week as the number three point guard.
Thanksgiving's on a Thursday this year?
It's on a Thursday this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about next year, but it's definitely on a Thursday this year.
Look at that, because they gave us Thursday off. So.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
What a coincidence. All right, everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot for listening. Send us your emails at dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. Follow Sergio on Twitter at cbsgonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. And follow us at CBS Fantasy News. We'll get to your emails next week when we come back. Look for us next Thursday. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy the weekend. Talk to you soon.